All right, let me just pause. Jed, are you back?
I am.
All righty, perfect. To each of you and all of you, this is the MediaBids Power Hour, an educational opportunity for advertising sales leaders around the world, and we are delighted that you are here with us. We are going to be sharing tools, resources, ideas, coaching, suggestions that will help you win as advertising sales teams, whether we're talking about print ads, your e-newsletter, or bundling up all three into your website. We're going to be talking about print and digital ad success every step of the way. Please know we're always going to encourage you during these educational programs to take and make as many notes as you can. It means you have to be actively listening. It's not an accident that we don't put something on the screen, which would create multitasking or many-tasking. The more active that you're listening from all of the adult research that has been done in all of our work over the last 20 years, when you're actively listening and you're making notes, we're infusing the knowledge. We're imparting and giving it to you so that at the close of today's program, you will be able to deploy it starting today. In addition, at the MediaBids site, there are more than, 10 years ago, Jed and I began, more than 10 years of educational programs related to advertising sales success. And many of the key principles that we'll be touching on today, we have full programs that are also available for you. So I'll let Jed say a few words related to all of the teleseminars we've done in the past. And as always, we also appreciate any of your questions during the course of our program today. Simply just hit reply to the confirmation that brought you here or send an email to earnest@powerhour.com. So Jed, how about some opening words? What's cooking at MediaBids? Tell us what's rocking. I'll say a few words about Power Hour, and then we'll launch right into our topic, okay?
Sure. Well, thanks again, as always, Ernest, for taking part in these teleseminars. Ernest is a wealth of information, and I always learn a lot by listening to his teleseminars. I'm sure today will be no different. I encourage all of you to who are not already participating to check out his sales academies, which he does and can explain further, but they take this kind of general presentation to another level. So, my name is Jed Gould. I'm the president of MediaBids. We've been driving revenue to publications for about 15 years. We are involved with many national companies that are interested in print, and we've got several different ways that we place ads, and that we buy ads, and that we generate revenue for publications. But at the end of the day, it's always about driving revenue for publications for their print editions. We're currently working on Mother's Day campaigns. We've got doing a lot for Dancing Deer and Vermont Teddy Bear and Pajamagrams. So we're trying to get those ads placed in as many publications as possible, as far ahead of the impending Mother's Day holiday as we can. So if you're interested in those ads, if you want to learn more about MediaBids or our program, we'd love to talk to you. Please feel free to give us a call, respond to the email which you'll receive at the end of this teleseminar, and we're always happy to talk to publications.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And Jed, it's always a pleasure working together. We're in our 10th year since we first began these educational programs. And I know every time I say it, I go, gosh, it's like a minute ago, right?
I had a lot more hair back then. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice.
There you go.
However, have the same amount of hair.
Exactly, which is the big O in Cheerio. None.
Right, right.
I'm like Groundhog Day. Every day I wake up, it's the same thing. I look fabulous. So listen, for each of you and all of you, take a couple of minutes, go into MediaBids. For those of you who work with MediaBids, you know what they bring. If you don't know enough, please go learn more. Reach out to Jed. They're magnificent in their work. They'll help you drive revenue. What I really love is that they bring national and regional advertisers, which helps you sell more national and regional ads. So think about the power of that and the way that that works for you. My name is Ernest Orienti. My company is Power Hour. I started in ad sales in the 80s, coming around literally 30 years ago. So I have a deep passion for ad sales and helping you win. Today, we've worked with more than 2,000 ad sales leaders around the world in 11 time zones. And the really, frankly, our signature is the hotter the kitchen, the more that we want to be in there with it with you. When you have big challenges, when you have big opportunities, when you have competitors that are really pushing on you or competitors that you want to outrun, that's what we're here for, and that's the work that we do on that side. In addition, Jed mentioned every Tuesday, yes, we have an ad sales academy. All of our academy members get about a 10 or 12-minute message on Mondays. They listen to it, and then on Tuesdays, it's open mic. So it's like this today. The difference is we're fielding your questions. Hi, Mary. Hi, Sue. Hi, Rick. Yep, your question. Yep, we field it. And we generally meet for about 30 or 40 minutes on Tuesdays. And every single week, we're there live and interacting related to the tools of what you'll be hearing today. This is a broader stroke in our academy. We're down to the very granular with tools, examples, and templates, and so forth. So come join us. Come find us on the web at powerhour.com. So we're going to today talk about, is your ad selling house in order? And I was laughing with Jed when I said, Jed, it's one of the more unusual topics. Does it sound like we're moving furniture or that we're dusting the china? Yes and no.
Right.
I promise it's all about ad sales. But we want to give you a little visual, okay? When we think about it, is our ad house, is our house in order related to ad sales? What we're saying is the front door, the back door, the windows, is everything nice and tight? And today in the world of advertising media and mediums, advertisers literally have an infinite number of ways that they can spend money. Infinite number. It's a lot tougher. Jed, in my earliest days, and I know you were there as well, advertisers didn't have that many options. Let's get real. You had a newspaper. You had yellow pages. You never missed that deadline. I remember, advertisers saying, oh, I'm launching my flower shop in June because the directory hits in May. I mean, I was there for those moments. Newspaper, yellow pages, some flyers, word of mouth, some signage. Advertisers, it was a simpler world. It was an easier world. You've heard us talk about this during our programs here. Today is more complex. We are working harder. We have to work smarter. And that's what today is about, is our house in order. So let's talk a little bit about, what that means, okay? There's no doubt is that we have a big focus, and we want to focus on our new ad sales, no doubt. This is an important part of having our house in order. And the other part, too, is that, it's fun when our house is in order. Not only are we driving big sales and really making great strides, but if we're having fun, our team is rocking. There's nothing like starting your day with high fives as everyone's hooting around the office. Or for those of you who work in a virtual space, up on Skype or out by text or whatever the mediums are nowadays to communicate as a team, whether you're in the same location or you're virtual or you're geographically dispersed. The point is when we have our house in order, it's fun and our team's rocking. We'll talk more about that. It also means that prime pages are being sold, that we've got waiting lists, that front covers are sold out, back covers, premium pages, e-newsletter, prime spots, our website. Isn't that what we really want? Wouldn't you like to be the most sought-after game in town or game in town for your sector? And when you have your house in order and when you're deploying the things that we're talking about here today, that's the kind of fun and that's the kind of focus. And when a little later on, we'll also talk about on the other side, competitors go away. We buy competitors for pennies on the dollar. We grow the premium values on the day we're ready to sell our media properties. They will sell or be sold at a premium on the other side. So everything that we do today not only is about having fun, driving more revenue, making more profit, but it's also about winning the competitive landscape. And it's also about ultimately creating more value for your organization. And, of course, for ad sales reps, it's about driving more commission. It also means that our site is getting more hits. We have more visibility. We have better SEO. Our newsletter list is growing. We have more readers and more readership. Aren't these the kinds of things that we most want? Isn't this what we do sitting in meetings wondering why it's not working this way? Don't we pause and say, why is our newsletter list short 1,000 compared to last year, or back 10,000 compared to 2 years ago? It's frustrating to see that our site visibility is declining, not increasing. That's not a fun place to be. So when you pause on the opposite and say, if our house is not in order, then it's feeling like every day we've got to come to work and roll a rock up a hill. And we're here today to talk about how do you get to the top of that, roll to the other side, where it's nothing but a sleigh ride down the other side and the rock is moving for us. That's the kind of momentum. Having our house in order also means that we've reduced or eliminated turnover. Isn't that ultimately what we want? That we want great reps that are rocking, that have great relationships, right? Isn't that the spirit of what we want? And that tenure means that the dialogue between our reps and our advertising clients or ad agencies is strong and powerful. So the reduction or elimination of turnover is another way to know if our house is in order, right? How about renewals? Another component. What kind of success rate do we have? For every 10 renewals, what percent of those are renewing? What percent of those are adding additional dollars? You know, these are the kinds of things that we're thinking about related to our house in order. And, of course, what's happening on the competitive landscape? Are you adding more competitors? How about existing competitors? Are they going backward? Are they closing their doors? Are their websites being turned off? Because for me, that's what I play for. And as Jed mentioned in our academy, we never, ever work with competing ad groups or ad publications or websites. Why? Because we are focused on you winning and everybody else losing. We see that as a zero-sum game. Yes, there's a place for competitors in the market space, but we don't play for number two, and we're not interested in number three. We're here today and in our Tuesday academies for one goal, for you to be the absolute best, most important source in your space and sector. Anything less than that is not what we play for. And those in our academy don't come to be second best or don't come to cruise in second gear. We want to rock. We want to push hard. We want to win, and we want to have fun. Some opening comments about, is your house in order? Jed, why don't we pause here? Your comments about house in order and anything related to some of the opening remarks that I've made here.
Well, the thing that comes to mind is that, you know, you have done really good teleseminars on dashboards and tracking a lot of this information, and maybe the first step for a lot of people for a lot of publications out there is you know, sort of coming up with a system that where they can measure what needs to be fixed, you know, and it's tough to know what to get in order if you aren't aware of sort of where things currently are. You know, so I think that, you know, that's available at mediabids.com, but, you know, Ernest has done whole teleseminars on how some of the metrics that he mentioned, you know, whether it be, you know, renewals or new customers or whatever it is you want to measure, how that can all be sort of tracked and measured, and you know, that's probably one of the first steps, I would think.
It is, and as I said last month to you, Jed, hey, wait a minute. You must be reading my notes.
Sorry.
No. You cracked me up. We've worked together for so long. If I say tomato, you say tomato. It is hilarious because the key points you're mentioning about your house in order, your dashboard, the tracking, yes, that is all part of the system. And we believe, truly, Jed and myself, that there is a formula, right, to ad sales success. But it's sort of like that burlap bag. I can't think of a better example. You take string and you weave it together, that burlap bag will carry lots and lots of weight, and it's strong. But unravel that thread just a little bit, and the whole burlap bag becomes what? String again, all right? And that is the piece that, you know, when we talk today about these indicators, if you pause and say, oh, gosh, we're in good shape, we've got 6 of 10, please don't say that. You need to have 10 of 10. We want you to have 10 of 10. Please don't feel like 6 of 10 is good enough. It is. All right, but that burlap bag, go back to that visual and you go, you know what, it's like we kind of put the string together and we made 6 loops, but we didn't complete the last 4, so it's not a burlap bag. You have to have your house in order. There's no shortcut that we have found. And the teams that are winning, that we coach and guide that are winning, that are dynamically driving their sales and revenue, are doing it because they have all 10 of these strategies. Okay, and that's it. That's the second part of what we're going to be talking about. But you heard Jed talk about the dashboard. What you measure is what improves. That's where you bring it all together. So as you're listening to the things that we're talking about today, think about your dashboard. Think about how you're going to track this month and this quarter and this year. And therefore, next year, you can come right back around to it. Okay? Think about how you track, for example, the number of readers of your e-newsletter or your site visitors or your SEO rankings or your inbound phone calls. If you don't have it captured that you can see it immediately and then compare it, how do you know where you're really at? Very important piece. So, Jed, without any further ado, drum roll, please. We have 10 key points that we're going to cover. Is your house in order? So let's start with number one, right out of the gate, your media kit. Your media kit is important as ever. Your media kit literally has to stop an ad agency buyer or a decision maker in their tracks. And the key word that we always use in our academy and all of our coaching over the last 20 years is this, disrupt. If you don't stop me as a buyer and disrupt me, then guess what? All right, I'm not changing the status quo. And status quo is our biggest competitor. End of story. So if you don't stop me in my tracks, that buy is not going to happen. And that is such an important component here. There are 19 key steps to a powerful media kit. 19. Today we'll talk about just a couple of them. We'll take a couple of minutes and drill down. All right? Let's talk a little bit about your association involvement, one of the 19 steps. So if you're working with auto dealers, you have association involvement with those auto dealers. You show up at their trade shows. You're on their committees. You speak, you write. There's all kinds of strategies. There's 12 ways to work within associations. The most important part to recognize is your media kit needs to reflect that. Half to a full page is going to talk about your association involvement and all the particulars. It's social proof. It shows your commitment to the sector, and it's absolutely key. And rarely do we ever see enough, in most cases in media kits, we see nothing other than I'm a member of, check the box for the association name. That is not what this is about. There's another piece. There's an entire set of strategies related to the way you work inside of associations, and those are the kinds of things that we work in our academies on Tuesday at a very granular level. Let's talk about another one of the other 19 steps. We are big believers in case studies, typically half a page. Once upon a time, Mary's Sewing Company came to me and bought an ad, a 12th of a page. Over time, she grew to a half, and then a full, and then onto our website, into our newsletter. And let me share with you the results that Mary today has 14 sewing shops. You get the story. Once upon a time, an advertiser came to me who was not happy with their ad results over here, here, or there. Once upon a time, an advertiser, a plumber, comes to me and says, all we've ever done is SEO. It's not working. Okay. Once upon a time, an attorney has come and said, you know, all we do is our own social media. It's not enough. You need these kinds of case studies as part of your media kit, and they have to be custom tailored to the sector and the presentation that you're giving. They're absolutely key and vital. It's another one of those areas that we rarely see in a media kit. Jed, comments about either associations or case studies before we move to point number two?
You know, I think that case studies are something that I look at a decent number of media kits and talk to a lot of publications, and I think that case studies can be really, really compelling, and almost no one does them, you know, and you know, in part they, you know, I mean, a lot of publications, and we've talked about this ad nauseum and other teleseminars, and probably if we have 10 years worth of teleseminars, we probably spend about 3 years talking about this. One of the mistakes that publications I think oftentimes make is that once an ad is placed, they figure that their job is done, and that as long as the ad appears in the you know, the proper format and looks good and, you know, isn't on an embarrassing, you know, doesn't have an embarrassing placement, they've fulfilled their job to the advertiser. And although that's true sort of contractually, it probably isn't true in terms of an expectation. So what case studies are great for is to help the advertiser, you know, set their expectations and get them thinking about your publication in the context of more than just you know, I'm buying space, right? You want them to think of your publication as something that they're investing in because it's going to end up making them money. And case studies are a great way to show that.
Mm-hmm. And Jed, just to dovetail behind that, for all of you to know about case studies, anyone can tell a story before, during, after, and especially because we salespeople love to use our voice to share stories, but it's not making the impact, number one. It's not sticking, so to speak, with the buyer on the other side, and it doesn't have the credibility. Even more importantly, you may know the story, but when you leave the company, Mary, who takes your spot, has no idea. And you may know the story, but you leave as the VP of sales, and the next sales director has no idea what the story was or is about Mary's sewing shop or the muffler shop or the law firm. So you see, case studies give you a legacy component in a media kit that the stories live forever. Success stories about e-newsletter advertising, the digital, weaving together the bundles at all of those pieces, okay? So very, very important part, and it's also a powerful training tool. Let's go to point number two. Point number two is our distribution and circulation. For those of you that are joining us and listening to us today, many of you have free circulation. Many of you have paid, and some of you also have control. You need to know the strengths and weaknesses of each and also how to sell in a competitive space where if you have control and you have three free competitors and two that are paid, you have to be able to understand the distinctions of how to move around in each of those sort of categories and know how to compete with them and against them. Each have their strengths and weaknesses. But in your presentation, we need to really focus on, are we conveying that we have the right readers, the right audience, and how do we know that? How do we weave in surveys when we're thinking about that piece? How do we weave in our circulation or distribution list, photos that show where we are distributed? For example, if we're on the free side, how do we weave in pie charts or graphs, depending on if you're free, controlled, or a newsstand and paid? All of the graphs and pie charts should be woven into the distribution and circulation side of your house. There's a really, really compelling story here, and you have to convey it because everything that you do in this second point, quite honestly, you could produce the most unbelievable content, the most amazing digital. But if nobody sees it, it's not worth anything. It's that classic, if a tree falls in the woods and nobody hears it, did the tree fall? My comment is no, it did not. I don't care how great your editorial is. I don't care how great your ad team is or your ad design. I don't care how great your format is. I care this going to the right people. Now I'm listening to the rest of the story. I'm just speaking to you from an agency point of view or an ad decision maker. It's a really, really big deal. That leads into point number three. Let's talk about the digital side, okay? I mean, the digital side is not going away. It's an ongoing part of what we do. So I'm going to make the obvious statement that I'm going to assume that in conjunction with your print, you have an e-newsletter approach, and you're selling ads in that, and you're going to also have your website all working together in a bundled way. So once again, we're not here to play for 6 of 10. I don't want to know that you just have your website and just have your print and don't have your newsletter. I don't want to know that your newsletter or that your website is not bringing you an ever-increasing velocity of readers and readership. So that's the key point here. What are the trends for the number of visitors on your site? How long do they spend? How many pages are they going to? How content-rich is your site? How does it compare? How does it compare to your competitors? Okay, what's happening in terms of search engine optimization on the other side? What do you know about the Google algorithms that change every May and June? What do you know about what Google just changed this week? The biggest announcement that we have seen since Y2K, the biggest change in the way that they're handling websites and the way that they're handling mobile access and the shift in their algorithms. How are you staying current on that? How are you talking to advertisers about it? This is this whole digital side, and it's absolutely key and important that we have our house in order as well. Jed, some comments about the digital side.
I've been stockpiling canned food in anticipation of this Google change for about the last 6 months. So I've got
Is it canned corn or canned beans? I like canned beans.
Canned beans. It's all in my bomb shelter. No, I agree. I mean, the digital side of things moves so fast, there's so many intricacies to it that it's almost impossible to sort of keep fully up with, you know, and to the extent that, you know, to whatever extent that you're behind, you or your sales reps are behind, you know, your chances are you're ahead of your advertisers. So unless someone is really an aficionado of it, you certainly have valuable information to share.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Jed, here's a quick example. In the last algorithm change by Google, for example, eBay lost 80% of their electronic and digital footprint. Why? Because thin content was no longer acceptable. So they might have a page with a hat to, you know, for the Yankees, okay? And it was a couple lines of text. In the prior version, they got credit for that. So you said, hey, I want to buy a Yankees hat. They were in the first page. All of that went away. 80% of their visibility, with Google saying, sorry, that does not cut it any longer. These are major changes related to your media website, your media visibility, you and your competitors, and the other side, like the double word in Scrabble, is also a major impact on your advertisers. What are you doing to keep your advertisers out in front, which takes us to point number four, social media. Did I hurt anyone's ears with that? Social media. You pause and say, I am so sick of walking into advertisers' offices for them to tell me they're into their or in and out of phone meetings and have agencies tell me, we're doing social media. Everything's groovy. We don't need you. Okay? Let me tell you, they're not even throwing pebbles into the ocean. You, on the other hand, because of your footprint, are throwing boulders. But in the end, it gets lost in the noise. That plumber tells you, I'm throwing boulders and I'm happy as a camper. Are they really? Listen to last month's program. We talked about social media. We went through Facebook, we went through Twitter, we went through LinkedIn, we talked about SEO. We just finished an in-depth look at that particular area. Because if you don't know how to handle whether or not that plumber is throwing boulders or pebbles, then you're not in the game. You're not in the conversation. And the ad agencies and your ad buyers, the plumber and the attorneys and the law and the muffler shops, whatever it may be, are going to run right over you if you don't have your house in order. Your own social media, double word and Scrabble, your own social media isn't rocking on your side of the house. Then on the other side, what do you know about the social media of your advertisers or your prospective advertisers? If you're going to drive sales, you've got to be prepared on that side of the house. Social media, one by one, a company by company by company story, is not what you bring to the table. You bring 10 boulders and 100 boulders to throw in the ocean. You are making an impact if you're doing it well, but once again, you have to convey that in your advertising sales presentation about your story. Your house is in order, but then you have to be prepared in your research for what you know about the social media being done by your advertisers on the other side. The classic, Jed, oh, yeah, we're using Twitter and we're using Facebook and we got our blogs rocking, and you pull up Twitter and there hasn't been a tweet done in 2 years. And then you pull up their Facebook page for that plumber and there's recipes for how to make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches, right? And you pull up the blog and that hasn't been updated in 6 months. And there's 2 likes, and that plumber is telling you that they're rocking. And you think you're not getting an ad sale until you begin to talk about their social media and show them that you really do know that their house is not in order, and hence we can open up a new conversation about driving sales and helping them with what we do. Comments on that, Jed? I'm sure you've seen some of these examples over the years, yes?
Right. I mean, I think that social, a lot of the stuff that goes on social media to me today feels a lot like broadcasting used to in local markets. In that, you know, someone would put in, you know, a plumber would put an ad on a, you know, on a local TV station. You know, and everyone that, that was related to that plumber would say, you know, hey, I saw you on TV, right? You know, in the same way that, you know, someone has a, you know, Facebook page or someone, you know, does something crazy with their social media, you know, their friends and relatives talk to them about it. I think that, you know, it's a very difficult thing to quantify, you know, but as we've mentioned earlier, you know, what I think, you know, it sort of gets back to the point you made about case study, and that is that, you know, to the extent that you can bring actual information to the conversation, it helps enormously. So if you can, you know, it's one thing to do social media, it's another thing to be successful with it. And a lot of companies out there, are finding that, you know, social media is great for driving certain types of traffic, certain types of customers, but it doesn't work nearly as well and is not a very cost-effective way of driving, you know, the types of customers that they oftentimes most covet.
And you're exactly right, Jed. You know, this piece about social media. You know what social media reminds me of? The old days of, sorry, I don't have you in the budget. Right? It was that conversation. And it also reminded me of the real old days. We don't need any advertising. Our business grows by word of mouth. Remember that stuff from like 70s, 80s? You know, we're so good, people line up outside our muffler store. You know what I'm talking about?
Sure, yeah. Easiest way to sell a help wanted ad, right? And someone says
that's exactly. You see, well, we want you to know this is like bell bottoms and shag carpet. If you keep wearing it, it eventually comes back around again in fashion. Okay. So what we're sharing with you, the world of I do my own social media reminds Jed and I, as you mentioned, local broadcasting. You know, I don't have you in the budget yet, really, okay? Or the old, oh, God, that old, you know, I don't do any advertising. Everybody knows about my, you know, fill-in-the-blank store or firm or whatever that may be. All right, very good. Listen, we'll continue to field the questions. There was a question that came in from Carol that I want to weave in here. Just a second. I wanted to see. So Carol asks, with the e-newsletter becoming the forefront of ad placement, how can print position itself to compete for ad sales? All right. And then do you see the combination of internet, print being viable? Yeah. Okay. So Carol, it's a great question. Carol in California, I must tell you that I used to live near where you're based, so I know that Southern California location well. Listen, e-newsletters are key and vital. If you ever look at the Google Analytics of a website, every time a print publication comes out, it's sort of like, it looks like a bell, the rise of activity that happened on a website, and then it slowly slopes down the other side of the bell until the next issue comes out, weekly, monthly, quarterly, whatever it might be. If you look at the visual of what happens on a Google Analytics on a website when newsletters go out, it creates spikes like Mount Everest. So you've got these nice sort of bells that move through the cycle of what a site looks like and the way it performs, and then you got these spikes in between. And what you do with your newsletters is you run them in between. So like the trough, the water rolls all the way down the backside of the trough on the bell, and then boom, your newsletter drops right in there. So there's some strategic work where you place your e-newsletters in your monthly and yearly cycles. But yes, e-newsletters are absolutely key. Why? Because it comes into your inbox and you have to decide what to do with it. I'm going to click on it. I'm going to delete it. I'm going to forward it. I may print it. I may store and archive it. It creates an actionable event, and that's what we love about e-newsletters, and it's a powerful bond to bring readers back over to your website, and your advertisers will love the e-newsletter impact. Why? Because you can only typically sell 3 or 4 ads in an e-newsletter. You might have 500 advertisers in your publication, and you might have 5,000 on your website. So it's very exclusive. For those of you that are selling ads into your newsletters, you should have literally the next year built with a waiting list and be charging a premium, in my opinion, for the value of what a newsletter brings. So, Carol, thank you for your question. Let's talk about competitors. Competitors is a big one. I am a, again, as you heard in the opening remarks, I'm only here, and we're only here to talk about a zero-sum game. We want you to be the premier and the premium source, but you've got to work hard to position yourself in the minds of advertisers, okay? But it starts with being very fluid with competitors. We've done entire teleseminars focused on media comparisons. This is one of our signature bodies of work in Power Hour over the last two decades. Going back into my corporate days, I've never sold without having that. My media kit in my right hand, my print publication, newsletter, website in my left hand, and the most important document is right up the middle, my media comparisons as and when I need them. Circle back to Media Bids, but listen to those. They're very full on. They're very extensive. And for those of you that are in our Tuesday Ad Sales Academies, we cover them in a very granular way. We show you examples, and they're absolutely key in terms of talking about competitors. It is a mandatory, okay? It's like, what is the root number of 7? How many times can you divide 7 into 7? You can't. It's 1 times 7, and that's it. Media comparisons are that root number. And if you have it and you understand how to sell with it, you win every time. And if you don't, frankly, it is intensely difficult to set yourself apart from competitors in the marketplace without having media comparisons. Enough on that. Market share. Market share is key, okay? Market share is about, in the simplest form, if you have 100 advertisers, I'm going to ask you these words. Great, and you have two competitors. Great, I understand. Of those 100 advertisers, how many of you, those advertisers, do you only have that are with you that are not with your other two competitors? In reverse, how many advertisers do they have, and do they have that you don't have? In the simplest form, that market share and market penetration is absolutely key. Market penetration says if you have 100, but there's actually a total of 200 possible A-level advertisers, then you have what? 50% of the share and 50% of that penetration within the market space. So there's two ways to look at this. And why am I fluid with these conversations? Because when you go to sell your media properties, this is what the bankers and the financiers and investors want to talk about. So when we talk about today thinking about selling one day your company for a premium, if that's a strategy today, tomorrow, or 100 years from today, get your house in order, have your house in order, be nice and tight, front door, back door, and the windows, so that you understand what's happening related to market share and market penetration. The last part with competitors, ad drop report. Ad drop report, we've also covered in full-on teleseminars. Again, a vital part of what we do with our advertising sales teams. Ad drop reports are key. I have got to know every single print issue, every single newsletter, and at least once a month by web, who's coming, who's going, who went up in size, who went down in size, period. I have got to have that. It's like saying if I'm driving a car, I've got to be able to see out my windshield. I can't just look through the side windows, because I can see the car's moving, but I don't know where I'm going. Every single, in my corporate days, Jed, every 2 weeks, my competitor came out. I was on a monthly cycle. They were every 2 weeks. They would come out on either a Wednesday or a Thursday. And that afternoon, we grab them from the newsstands, pull them in, and that afternoon, we had a high school student that came in that drove that afternoon and evening, the ad drop report, and the very next morning we met as a team over breakfast to break out exactly what happened, who came in, who went out, who left, who went up, who went down. This is a very interesting model because, you know, Jed, if we were selling copiers, I could sell 500 copiers within 1 mile of where you're standing today, and you would never know that I sold 500 copiers unless you went door to door and office to office and room to room. But in the world of ad sales, right, it's like hanging a report card out every cycle, isn't it?
Sure, yeah, it's easy to see. A little trickier online, right? But you can still do it.
Mm-hmm. You can still do it. I can measure a newsletter, and I can also refresh at least the prime placement on the web, at least the prime pages, and I might determine with a competitor that I might say, look, on these 10 URLs, I'm going to do 10 refreshes or 20 refreshes, and I'm going to keep track as well. So you can do it even on the digital side. Nothing's changed. But everything we do, you know, in our world of ad sales, guess what? You know, it's very visible out there. And I can tell you, my earliest days of ad sales, I had such pride when the new issue would come out that I put it on my shelf, and then I could start to see that 40 pages became 44, became 48, and one day 48 became 248. You know, it was fun to watch the growth. And that will also sync up some of the things that I'll talk about, growth charts and those kinds of things, you know, that sync into that. So anyhow, the piece related to competitors, it's a big deal. Point number six, thought leadership. This is a biggie. We call this the Switzerland model. Okay? There are a host of strategies to move beyond I sell ads. Because quite honestly, if that is the title on your business card, I sell ads, okay, you are not having fun. We're not a premium choice. We're not the last to get cut when the budgets get cut. We're the first or one of the many others. We're not thought of by ad agencies as a must-go-to. So the Switzerland approach and the thought leadership piece says, in all we do, and there's a host of strategies related to this, but everything from industry white papers, industry educational webcasts or teleseminars like we're doing here today, everything from speaking, writing. I mean, there's so many ways to rise above the crowd. The most important piece to take from this is if we just sell ads, it's not enough. We're just part of the noise, and it's going to feel like this. Yippee-yay, I sold two ads today. Whoops, I lost two tomorrow. Great, I sold three the next day. Whoops, I lost two the next day. It's going to feel like two steps forward, one back, one step forward, two steps back, one to the left, one to the right. You're going to feel yourself, because the real term is net gain. If I sell 10,000 in new ad sales and I lose 10,000, my net gain is zero. Wouldn't it be great to sell 10,000, close the back door, and have a $10,000 net gain and go do that for 12 months? But again, these 10 indicators are absolutely key in order to be successful. Your ability to rise above the crowd. Jed, in the simplest form, as you go around and travel around the country, you speak at a variety of events. You speak as a thought leader, knowing about what? Ad results, ad ROI. You know the differences between digital and print. You have all of this data that you share. Every time you put your shoes on and go out and give a presentation, which I know you do, you are modeling this thought leadership, are you not?
Right. It's you know, it's something which comes easier to some people than others. you know, in terms of speaking, but it can be. It can be incredibly beneficial, you know, and it does, you know, as you say, you know, it really does sort of change the equation and help people think of you and your company in a different light, you know. No longer are you just trying to get someone to do something. You're an important part of the solution.
Absolutely. And I know the presentations that you've given over the years and the audiences that are there that are, you know, advertising sales leaders, and you're out showcasing your company with insightful information that will help those in the audience win, and in turn, with the anticipation that those in the audience will also do what? Use and utilize MediaBids. Same thing for all of you. Ask yourself the same thing. Do we just get up Monday through Friday and sell ads, or are we doing more? Key piece to point number six. Let's talk about point number seven. We've already touched a little bit on this. Renewals. Talk about closing the back door. What percent of your, in the simplest form, 10 ads, print, digital, website, newsletter, are up for renewal? What percent of those renewed? Simple. Very straightforward. What percentage of those upgraded? What percentage of those bought a bundle? They bought the newsletter, plus the site, plus your print, and that combination. Very important indicators. It's like looking at your dashboard, and you only need a few indicators. There might be 5,000 or 5 million, you know, things happening under the hood electronically with your car, but what do you get? A couple of dials. You know, let's see, where's my gas? Okay, do I need it or not? Let's see, temperature of the car, right? And we get another one with our battery measurement, three measurements. But we know that underneath that hood is what? All the computer technology we could ever imagine that's whirling behind the scenes to make those three dials look effortless. And the same thing with your renewals, close that back door. Point number eight, stats. And there's a question here from Matthew that I'll tie in just a second. Stats are a must-have. Jed, listen, you're going to go crazy on this, right? What are the stats that we must have? Number of phone calls, number of clicks, number of forms and leads filled out, right? I mean, Jed, I know I'm right in your sweet spot, baby.
Right.
What we measure is what improves, right?
Right, and you know the thing that you're up against is that you know, as Ernest mentioned, you know, early in this teleseminar, you know, it's you're competing against mediums that have this information readily available for people whenever they want to look at it, in whatever format they want to look at it. So you in order to compete with with online companies, whether it's, you know, whether it's banner ads or AdWords or mobile, you've got to be able to combat some of their results-based argument with actual results. And you know, we use phone numbers, unique 800 numbers. That's a great way to track results. You can use unique landing pages. You can use, you know, promo codes. I mean, there's lots and lots of ways of doing it. It's an effort, and advertisers cannot be trusted to do it themselves. You as the representative of the publication really need to take it upon yourself to provide that information to the advertiser. We have found in our own dealings with advertisers that it just makes an enormous difference when you can go to an advertiser and you can say, this is what's going on. These are the results. Mm-hmm. This is the data. Mm-hmm. It really changes the conversation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. In fact, Jed, as you know, we do a lot of work on the SEO side. Obviously, the importance of tracking to be able to say in the first quarter to our clients, listen, activity coming into your website is up 14 to 18% this quarter over the first quarter of last year, but it's up between 62 and 83% from the prior year. So look at the aggregate of what's happening over the last 24 months. When you can talk with that level of specifics, let me share with you that a half-page ad, we expect that you're going to generate 40 or 50 inbound calls and leads. A full page will be 80 to 100. Jed, you've given us presentations on that. Larger ads generate more sales. We've all known that. We've always known it, but we can measure it and describe and talk about it. We've got to have our stats in order. And there was a question from Matthew. Let me just put that on the screen here, who says, the best tools to help track ads. Yeah, you're hearing us. We positively need to capture all inbound phone calls on one side, and then the other side, anything newsletter and website, we need clicks and forms and leads. And what are the best practices, which is the other question, for tracking with ad exec? It's part of our media kit. It's part of our presentation. It's part of those 19 key pieces that we're presenting, and yes, we must adapt. The other question is, how do we adapt our media to changing trends? Well, 10 years ago, we weren't talking about the web or e-newsletters like we are today, or SEO, some of the algorithms like we are today related to Google. So, yes, it is ever-changing, and if we're going to be in the advertising and media and marketing and branding space, we must stay current and out in front of our advertisers so that we focus on making certain we're winning from the print, newsletter, and website side, and therefore we can best help our advertisers. So that's a great question, Matthew. Let's go to point number nine. I want to touch on this piece because people matter in our sector, in our space. It's about training and coaching, okay? A couple of key pieces is in terms of our house being in order. We've got to obviously hire right, certainly. I'm going to make that assumption. We certainly, though, have to deliver on a strong first week because when people join your ad sales team, they were job searching and they may not even have said no to other positions. They'll join your company step in and see that things are going well, and they will formally say no to other opportunities. If they're not going well in that first week and you wonder why someone leaves on a Thursday and never comes back, because they stepped in and they weren't impressed. So first week must be golden. Also, the first 90 days, I was trained by a little bitty company called Motorola back in the 80s, early 80s. Trained by also Xerox and certified in their models and methodologies. I'm a big believer in calendaring, and the first 90 days have a full game plan more than the first week. Also, training and coaching on presentations, fielding objections, monthly dashboards, weekly sales training, which is why I have an academy on Tuesdays. I drink my own Kool-Aid, right? My house is in order because I want you to win every 7 days. You need weekly sales training and also a commitment to one-on-one, where we talk about individual performance. One-on-one meetings are run by the ad sales reps, okay? Very important component to team development. So training and coaching, point number 9. And then lastly, coming around the bend, turnover versus tenure, okay? If we're going to talk about closing the back door and people and performance, you know, what is the tenure of your current team? What is the longest number of years, or the most number of years, that a person has on your ad sales team? And by the way, we can do the same down CERC. We can do that on the same down production, graphics, accounting. I mean, I'm not skipping over that, but we are here to talk about ad sales. Look for that tenure to be a really important indicator, okay, of the people are having fun and they want to stay with you and your team. Look at the percent of those who are leaving. You know, if you're losing people all in their first year, what should that tell you? If you're losing, we have a media group that we work with, been a change of investors and ownership. This week, listen to this number, this week they will remove, or the investors are removing 100 years of combined tenure spread across about 6 people. Now think about that. Think about what they're doing to the tenure at the very top. Okay, that is a really big deal. All right, that sends one message in a marketplace. Think about the opposite, where you're losing most of your people 1 year or less. What does that tell you on the other side? Close the back door, shut the windows, tenure matters, and of course, exit interviews and why people are leaving are some of the programs that Jed and I have run over the years. So let's just wrap up. We said that we were going to say just some closing words. Compared to your direct competitors, why is having your house in order such a big deal, right? Well, we opened up and said, what? It's fun. It's fun to have a great team. It's fun to win. It's fun to be giving each other high fives in the office. I don't know about all of you, but I love starting my days and ending my days that way. And in my early corporate days, we even had a bell, a ship's bell, and it was called the Ring of Success. And when you made a sale, you came down the hall, ringing the bell all the way down to the conference room. You got to the conference room, you went up on the wall, and you had ink. You had your own ink. You had your own marker. Terry, who worked for me, was purple. Margaret was green. David was red. They would crow like roosters going into that conference room to tell you, I got another one. I got another one. Look what I got. Come on down. Ink's up on the board. Look at that. There's more purple up there. I am telling you word for word how much fun we had. And it was a delight to see all of those sales up on the board. And so having fun is really what this is about. It really, and it's also about having those nice, strong relationships. Back to tenure for just a moment. You could spend 10 years calling Pete in San Diego. He is never returning your call, and he is never buying an ad from you. But I can text him at home, and I can get pinged back in 3 minutes because I have a relationship that goes back 30 years with Pete. If you don't think tenure matters in that quick story, it does. The depth of our Rolodex, the depth of the relationships matter. There's a loyalty there. Every time you lose somebody, you sever that. That's why it's so key to nurture and help our team win. Also recognize, we talked a little bit about that, association visibility. A signature part of our work is that you take a look at the sectors you serve. Is it snowmobile? Is it RV? Is it forestry? Is it senior? Is it a general business publication, newspaper, or magazine? You go to those associations, and you not only write the checks to participate, but you work your associations. They're really an invaluable part. We also utilize graphs and charts that show our success. the reason that all of this ties together. What do you think a chart looks like when you with your print publication grew it from 40 pages to 140 to 340? What does that chart look like? A hockey stick. What does it look like when a competitor who was 340 went to 240 and is now 40 pages? What does that look like? Do you think you could sell ads with that kind of visual out in the marketplace, and the same for newsletter ads and the same for digital? You can. It's fun to sell with that kind of momentum and the use of graphs and pie charts to show that. It's also fun because when you deploy all the strategies we're talking about, competitors start to lose their key people. They start to lose those tenured relationships, and they start to have a revolving door. And there's nothing more fun, Jed, than getting resumes from those who have worked for competitors to say, I'm leaving because they cut my pay. I'm leaving because I didn't make my quota. I'm leaving because we can't afford our distribution or current circulation. I'm leaving because my company has cut their print run and they haven't changed it in the media kit. You know what I'm saying, Jed?
Right.
Okay? It's fun when that's happening. And then it's fun because we can buy competitors because they're so weakened for pennies on the dollar. And it's fun. All of these strategies sync up because on the day we're ready to sell our media properties, we're going to sell them for a premium because we deployed all 10 of these strategies. That's why we have our house in order. Close the back door. Shut the windows. It's fun to win in ad sales, but there is no strategy here that you can take out without that burlap bag unraveling. Every single piece here, and then obviously many, many sub points are underneath, but all 10 of these are key to your ad sales success. Jed, some closing comments or observations as we're coming up here on the top of the hour.
I think that, you know, you raise some great points, and it's a, you know, it's a good strategy for success. I mean, I think that in, you know, for a lot of people listening on the call, if you're not currently doing some of these things that Ernest is talking about, it might seem overwhelming. But I think that taking one step at a time and, you know, starting with tracking results, you know, leads to, you know, they sort of all build on each other. So probably the kind of thing that once you start, it's a lot easier to get to the finish line than you think.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And as you know, in media biz, you know, you didn't build everything you have today overnight, but you did say, I need more of this. I need to close that back door. I need to add a second floor, you know, then I'll close those windows. So as you know, in media bids, you know, you constantly evolve with business and technology and the needs of your advertisers. Some cases you added a second floor. Other cases you added an extra, you know, bathroom or whatever, bedroom. Or, you know, you constantly expanded your house. But as you expanded it, you also closed the windows and the doors. So you did what? You delivered on your promise to those you're working with, and you ensured that the very best of ad results were happening, which is why you've continued to evolve and learn more and more about what ads, what ad results, what are we measuring, and then what does all of it mean. You've done exactly the same thing with media bids. Your house is in order, and it keeps growing.
Yeah,
expanding,
you could look at,
because the back door, right?
Right. I mean, you could look at any business, right? I mean, you used the example earlier of Google, right? I mean, there's an example of an incredibly successful business that didn't like how mm-hmm. things were going and needed to change their algorithm so that they could readjust mm-hmm. their search results.
Mm-hmm.
You know, mm-hmm. Doesn't get much more
yep.
successful than them, and they felt the need to, mm-hmm. you know, to adjust how they did things.
Absolutely. And ever since May and June of 2011, every single May and June since then, they have put in major changes to their algorithms, and the bottom line is they continue to succeed faster and faster with all of their business model. We want all of you to succeed with your business model. Jed and myself are always here to talk about ad sales success. We're always here to talk to you about driving revenue. Jed, it's always a pleasure working here together. To each of you and all of you, thank you so much for joining us here today. Please go look at mediabids.com. Make certain you understand all that they bring. find an opportunity to speak with Jed. If you'd like to learn more, they have an incredible formula for success. For those of you that are joining us who already are working with them, you know their sterling reputation. And if you'd like to learn more about our Tuesday Ad Sales Academy, it's live. It's just like this. The difference is we're interacting and fielding your questions in a very personal way, much like Jed and I are speaking here. Just come to powerhour.com. This is our 20th year in biz, and we'd love to chat with you related to that. So, Jed, always a pleasure. See you next month. To each of you and all of you, have a fabulous day, and we look forward to being back in touch next month. Okay?
Great. Thanks very much, Ernest. Thanks for everyone who joined us.
Thanks, Jed. Take care.
Thank you. Bye.